Well, good morning. Ooh. Hi, friends. I know we just prayed, but let's spend some time as we sit with God and transition into this time of chatting. Let's pray again. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being a God who sits and rests with us. And Lord, as we hear stories of how you have called and worked in our soon-to-be graduates' lives, Lord, we ask that we, through their stories, are reminded of who you are, that we are reminded of your grace and peace and mercy, that we are reminded of your goodness and beauty. Lord, may their stories remind us of your story and our story in your life. So Lord, be with these speakers, these panelists, Lord. Allow them to have clarity of mind and thought. And Lord, let this time just be a celebration. In your name we pray, amen. Well, a couple weeks ago, Jackie Smith was talking, and she was talking about how each of us carries a story of how God has worked in our lives, has brought us all here for one time or another, and how part of our role, our duty, is to share those stories. And so today we wanted to invite three soon-to-be graduates, hopefully. Yeah, planning to be. There you go.
Hopefully.
To share their story with you all so that you can hear about how God has worked and is working in their lives. And then we as a community can be praying for them as they sadly leave us in a few weeks/months. So friends, first, most challenging question. Introduce yourselves to this group. Tell us who you are, where you're from, what you're studying, and why you have been here for as long as you've been here.
So I'm Andrew Neely, just kidding. No, I'm Elwin Murray. I have been here since the fall of 2020. So been here for a long time. Some might call it the MDiv plus, but no, I'm just kidding. I've been working on the MDiv for, this is starting my fifth year now, looking to graduate in January after going on the Mentor Ministry 3 Africa trip, Lord willing, which I'm looking forward to, so that's exciting. But this has just been a great experience. I'm from Virginia and North Carolina. I kind of claim both, a little bit nomadic, but went to Wake Forest University in North Carolina, and then the Lord called me here with like my best friend from that I met there. So very happy to be here and glad the Lord brought me here.
My name is Andrew Neely, and my journey, let's see, I'm from Georgia. I have come to seminary, fall of 19 was my first semester here. In my, some would call second, starting over in life, my second journey in life. And I came from a difficult place. To put that more in context, I moved with everything I owned in my truck to start over in life. And God's redemptive power in my life is just incredible. And I've learned a lot along the way. So while I've been here, I've become a grandfather. Yes, that's right. Believe it or not, I'm a grandfather. So what a blessing. I'll leave it right there. Yeah.
My name is Kirsten Meadows. I have been here for 2.5 years, which actually is the prescribed amount of time for the leadership degree. But it's kind of a miracle considering that I changed degree programs at one point. So I am studying leadership, and I just feel so much passion for what the Lord is calling me to, and I'm very grateful for that, to really be excited about what he's laid on my heart. So,
what I didn't say is that I started in the MDiv program. I started MDiv, and through classes, through the Lord guiding me through different decisions in my calling, I now have a dual degree, Master's in Ministry, and an MAL in Organizational Leadership. So that's what I'm graduating.
Andrew just wanted to flex the 2 degrees. That's why he had to wait at the end. As I was thinking about kind of this time together, I was naturally thinking about our ethos statement. We talk about that a lot in the formation world, how we are here, whether you're hybrid or online or in person, to be 3 things, theologically educated, spirit-filled, sanctified. That's what we hope all of our graduates walk away with. So we're going to use those 3 markers as kind of categories to talk about. So we're going to talk about what you guys have learned. We're going to talk about the way that you have been challenged and the way that they have been changed. What you've learned, how you've been challenged, how you've been changed. So we'll start with the first one. How have you guys grown in knowledge? Where have you found that place to grow in knowledge, whether it's in the classroom or outside of the classroom? Where have you learned while you're here? We're really well organized, as you can tell. We had a clear lineup.
Yeah, I think what comes to mind for me is Bible classes with professors like Dr. Dondrell or Dr. Reese or Dr. Keener. I think those have been super helpful for me, and it you know, a lot of that work has been in the classroom, but it's something that I think Asbury does well, even just outside of the classroom, as far as conversations and chapel and things like that, but in the sense of really taking the Lord at his word in the way he wants to say it. I came a little bit from a context where it was easy, in my mind at least, to kind of see the Bible as a manual for how to just morally live, kind of an I-it relationship, as opposed to an I-thou, to use that language of a person, the creator of the universe, like talking to us. And there's a lot more beauty and dynamism in that, where you have to ask follow-up questions like, what do you really mean here? What are you saying? And you have to hear the Lord speaking through other people in different contexts and all that thing. And so I think that has been super, super helpful and formative, as opposed to just making it about me and what I can understand from the jump, but actually taking it deeper and trying to see where his heart really is and receiving it that way and trying to live in light of that. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. In inductive Bible study, just studying the interpretation phase and the observation phase and going deep into what it means to be a disciple and to live out the Great Commission in the Holy Spirit, falling in my Grice dorm room in 301 while I'm studying that. Those are powerful moments that I don't want to ever forget. Also, in my first semester, to piggyback that, a counseling touch or a pastoral care touch that really changed my life was Martin Mallory's Care of Persons class. I was able to put language and meaning to my experiences in life. And that's where the healing began. When you can look at your past experiences and set it out in front of you and say, that's what I went through. That's what I experienced. That's what I did to others, or that's what was done to me. That's where the healing began for me. That was powerful for me. So,
I think. So I am in the leadership program is not one that automatically looks or feels like very theological, and so I think having the really essential blend of theology education that feels more lofty, almost a little. Kind of higher up there in my head. I'm thinking a lot of, you know, just things that aren't even like tangible necessarily. And then also the really, really grounded practical education of being a leader or, you know, running a nonprofit. Or I read this, I would consider it a spirit-filled article on purpose-driven board leadership, which is not anything that I would have expected to really enjoy. But it was really, really wonderful. And so I think just that the blended knowledge of how the Lord in all of his ways, which are higher and above us, is also very, very grounded in the everyday things that we do. And then also just feeling like I have a really, really solid foundation of my own, of how I understand theology, and I would say that was formed in Dr. Christiansen's Theology of John Wesley class, actually. I grew up in a Wesleyan church, but I never would have known that. I thought for the longest time that it was like a neutral, like non-denominational situation until I got to that class and I was like, oh, this is the theology that I've learned about my whole life. And now I know that there's a reason that it's called the Wesleyan Church. It comes from John Wesley. And so just like being able to connect those dots. And then also, again, just I know I've had just the most amazing connection with a professor when their passion for something that I didn't think I really cared about makes me passionate about that thing. And I'm like, ooh, I feel the same way that you do about church history all of a sudden, Dr. Johnson. That's incredible because I'm not a history person. And so just having those experiences and knowing that I've been able to soak all of that in my time here.
It's good. It seems like there's a through line for all of you of things that you sort of expected and then the unexpected, right? The loving of church history, like the unexpected. So what in your time here has been that sort of unexpected gift that now you can reflect on and see how God worked as you're almost about to leave? That wasn't one of the questions I preempted them on. So let them think about it. What was unexpected?
I think one of the things was just being able to, well, I already talked about connecting dots, but taking what felt like a very broad but niche calling, which I feel the Lord has called me to creation care. And which there's a lot of things that could be in that, but it's also a very, very niche aspect of the church, I feel like. And it's one of the things I came in very passionate about, and I almost like a defender of it. And I was like, I have to defend my stance on why this is important in the church. And so one of the unexpected things for me was the Lord kind of, for one thing, softening that defense a little bit. And then saying, this is how it's connected. This is how creation care is connected to discipleship. This is how discipleship is connected to social justice. This is how discipleship is connected to, motherhood or family, family life. This is how creation care, you know, all of the ways that the Lord is like, these things are all connected. They're not separate things. They're not, you know, compartmentalized, but they are all just a part of the workings of the Lord. And just being, having my eyes open to that was unexpected for me. Yeah.
I think something unexpected was well, it's more like a revealing than when I came to seminary, my ministry context, my desire was recovery ministry, because the life I had lived, what I experienced in my life, that is who I was set out to serve, to save, to help show Christ to. And then here in classes like vocation and ministry and Christian leadership identity, Dr. Tumlin, I see you back there, those classes opened they took the blinders off of there is a lot more in this world than that. Understand me, I hold that very precious. That is dear to me. You know, preaching the gospel and so that hurt lives can be healed and things like that. That's very important. So I guess the unexpected was a revealing of the ways, the multiple different ways that Christ wants to use us in this world.
Yeah, I think something that comes to mind for me that really shouldn't be unexpected, but I guess it was, given the way Jesus tells us about it in Scripture, but I think just the breadth and the depth of relationship, like how the Lord can truly make family out of strangers. I come from a very like close family unit, which I hold very dear to my heart. But so I think coming here, I've just been blown away by the Lord's goodness and generosity and the depth and breadth of relationship that he can make among his people that come from wherever. So,
yeah, it's good. We have the joys, the unexpected, and intermixed in the unexpected is the challenge. So let's move to sort of tier two. Being spirit-filled also comes with some beautiful challenges. So what have you guys found to be most challenging in this small, intimate room, not being streamed live or anything, you know? What have you found most challenging in your time in seminary?
Yeah, I'll hop back on. I guess to kind of piggyback what I was just saying, too, on the other side, I think there is a little bit of a cost in some ways to getting that and fully receiving that depth and breadth of relationship with strangers and people from different backgrounds. So there's this call to vulnerability and commitment, and that can sometimes in a Western individualistic culture be uncomfortable or be something we want to push up against. But it's so, so worth it. But yeah, I think that's been a growth point for me for sure, and a challenge of just actually trying to be more and more committed to the people around me for their good and for my good, even through the uncomfortability of that sometimes.
Yeah. Looking in the mirror and dealing with that person was challenging, very challenging. Dying to self, right? The idea that it's not about me. It's not about me. And to sacrificially love each other. And also with that is to be able to receive love, to be able to receive the care that I have been given while I'm here. That takes humility to a lot of people. That's not easy. So that was challenging for me to just to be vulnerable and to open up and allow the Lord to heal through others. That was a challenge for me.
I think what I have struggled with the most has been truly just trusting that the Lord knows like what he's doing, and that he has reasons, even if he's not going to reveal them to me. Even just the, like how I even got to seminary was, seminary was never on my radar, is never something I wanted to do, never something I planned to do, and not something I needed, I didn't think. Even after I received kind of my call to ministry, I was like, yeah, cool, that's ministry. I don't need to go to seminary to do it. I actually can do it without that degree. And then when the Lord presented me with an invitation to seminary, and I, you know, was like, well, clearly this is the Lord. Like, I can't ignore that. To ignore that would be foolish. And so I just spent a while, my first year, justifying to myself why the Lord wanted me here. I think that it just in that process, and then finally just in surrendering, like maybe I'll never know why the Lord wanted me here. For one thing, the Lord like did show me. I have learned so much. He showed me so much. But also, I have been humbled in that process, and so, I mean, that's still challenging to trust the Lord. Now I'm coming up on graduation, and it's a whole new set of challenges of trying to figure out what's next, and just trusting that even if I don't know what that is right off the bat, that like the Lord is holding me, and he has not dropped me. He's not let me he has not failed, and he's not let me fail. And so just honestly, like a constant challenge of just trusting that the Lord knows what he's doing.
Thank you for sharing that, for being vulnerable with these people. Appreciate you guys doing that. With the challenges that you were vocalizing, and I think probably for a majority of us when we face challenges, whether here or in the future, there are at times sort of sparks of joy within the challenge, or moments of excitement or joy or happiness, even though the thing is challenging. So as you were reflecting on your challenges, did any of those bring you to joy? Did you find joy in the midst of the challenge? How was the like duality of those experiences?
There was, to explain another challenge that I experienced was about that failing is okay. Maybe not your classes, but failing to fail, there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity my first summer here where a ministry opportunity fell in my lap. And I said yes, and I ran with it. It was a sober living environment here in Wilmore, and it happened to fall in place while I was taking Equipping the Laity class. So those models and concepts and things I was learning in the class, I could immediately apply to that ministry here. And I was gung-ho for it. Absolutely, this is what I'm called to do. And it didn't work out. It helped a few people, but it didn't work out. So failing is okay as long as you understand that that is a fertile ground for growth, right? To fail, to go back and think, okay, what didn't I do? What wasn't there? Well, I said yes too quick. I didn't make sure the people around me, I didn't make sure that there were good people around me that supported that, right? I was just off and running. What was the second part of your question?
Finding joy.
Finding joy in that. So that fertile ground, so there's joy in, I guess there's joy in redemption. There's joy in redemption of the things that haven't worked out, that you're passionate about. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. That's the joy. Keep pushing forward, right? So, yeah.
I think just some of the little moments of joy that I've gotten to experience have been gifts, just little gifts from the Lord. Like he's, dropping down a little parachute present. One of those was even my first semester when I was still kind of like, I don't know if I actually should be here kind of thing. One of the classes that was offered was with Dr. Tho Babin, Creatures, Creation, and Theology, or Environment. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that the seminary offered a class like that. How exciting. And so I signed up for it and was way in over my head with Dr. Tho Babin. But it was just a really, really sweet little gift from the Lord for obeying, I guess. And then around the same time, the job that I got to do for 2 years, and just everything that I learned in that job, which was exactly what I was like, Lord, if I could just have something, some place where I can learn these hard skills that I need. And the Lord was like, here you go. And so the whole challenge of seminary, having those little moments of joy that the Lord presented. My best friend moved back from Texas back to Kentucky on her own grad school journey. And so even just like having, the moments like that apart from seminary where moments of joy that have carried me through some of these challenges.
Yeah, I love that question and the framing it with joy. I think it's very helpful and grounding. I think in my context, as far as the, going deeper in the Lord with community and the kind of vulnerability or uncomfortability that can come with that sometimes, I think it is truly the joy of the Lord that makes that one, worth it, and two, even possible. Like the joy of the Lord is the goal and the sustainer of that process and that work. And so, yeah, I've been very, very thankful to experience that. I mean, just think of sweet conversations, a lot of laughs, so many sweet memories with a lot of you in this room that has pushed me onward, to not in my own strength, but because who the Lord is and what he's up to. And yeah, it makes me think of that Hebrews scripture of for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. So yeah, it's the sustainer and the goal of why we're here, what we're doing. So
it's good. Now you have 3 weeks-ish left of classes, and then, not to remind you, all of you, 3 weeks left. You're welcome.
Including,
thank you.
Including and, reading week or apart from reading week?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a student, so I have a hard time with math. Sorry, guys. Sorry. And so you are coming to a time of reflection about the end. So how have you changed? What has changed? You naturally have to change while you're in the pressure cooker that is seminary. So how have you changed?
as you reflect on and begin to step out of this world?
I would say that two things that have grown in me, the Lord has grown in me in 2.5 years, is my passion for different things I never would have expected. The amount of times that I have been like righteously angry about something that I've read or something that I've heard about or experienced. And then the Lord has been like, okay, this is now a passion that you have that is from me, that is going to kind of fuel this, the ministry that you're in. And then also compassion for his people, for his church, for his creation, and just how much more deeply I love, I think, that, that I just, I was a bit of a cynic when I came into seminary, and I think the Lord has broken that down with compassion.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to the first question and just how looking, you know, the Spirit through the Word kind of changing how I view God and his people, I think it was easy for me to kind of be living in almost a Genesis 3 to Revelation 19 Christianity, a gospel, instead of Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, in the sense of realizing everything starts, it sustains by and ends with the goodness of God. Like, that is the rock. And I think it's easy, even in Christian circles, to make it about us again all the time. And so that was a huge change in my heart. The Lord is still doing, where like even things like repentance, like, only really makes sense in the context of looking at God's goodness first. It's not some standard we make up and then try to will ourselves into it. It's, you know, it's seeing his pure love, holiness, and letting him change us into that image instead of kind of that striving. And so that's been a huge change for me that I'm still working on.
A big aspect of my change has to do with Peter Scazzaro's Emotionally Healthy Leader. I was able to walk with a dear friend and mentor of mine through that book. And if you do not have it, I encourage you to read that book, ideally with somebody else. Relationships are a big thing. To lead out of wherever you are, whether it be married or single, is important. And to understand how to do that correctly. And as I was challenged to reflect on each chapter, I do want to share something with you that I wrote, that I reflected on chapter 3, which is leading out of your marriage or your singleness. Okay, which shifted my perspective on leadership. Scazzaro challenged the notion that spiritual leadership exists solely within the walls of a church. He emphasized the crucial role of our personal relationships in shaping us as leaders. And this was a reminder that my leadership does not begin and end at the pulpit or at work or in the marketplace. It starts at home, in my interactions with others. And for married people, with your spouse and family. And I quote this, if you are going to marry, make sure you marry someone who doubles your ministry and doesn't cut it in half. Learning to lead with love, vulnerability, and transparency within my own household becomes the foundation for leading with authenticity in all spheres of life. That was profound for this time here, is to go, and as a single man who is learning to lead from that in the hopes and dreams of being married soon, that was a huge part. But before I can lead right here, before I can lead you with a sermon and a Bible study, whatever, I need to learn how to lead from my singleness or in my home with my spouse and kids.
That's good. And Andrew, that kind of leans into the last question. When Jessica and I were talking about this type of panel, we talked about the
last lecture series that was popular a while back, how professors who were leaving or whatever would get it up and do one final lecture. They would give their one final piece of advice before they peaced out. Not that this is your last lecture, but what's one advice or one prompting thought or one question you can ask this group as you eventually leave this community? What's your one piece of advice to give to people?
Yeah. I think kind of to echo some of what Matt was saying even at the beginning of the service, like, don't do this alone and dive into it, even if it's uncomfortable or hard or you feel alone. And obviously it's going to look different for different people, and that doesn't mean just sign up for everything or do everything, although it might look like doing more or doing less than you're currently doing. But just, I would say, just be open to the Lord and how he wants to shape you in this community, and don't let fear or the lie of self-preservation or anything like that keep you from how he might want to grow you and pour into you and bless others with you giving the gift of yourself, because you are here for a reason. So don't deprive yourself or others of that and that opportunity and that gift to be here and grow in him.
One of the things that I have learned that I just want to invite you to consider is submit yourself to being a learner for life. There's been a couple of times, I hate to admit, where I've looked at the book list for a new semester and I've seen yet another book on spiritual disciplines, and I had this thought of, what more could I possibly have to learn about spiritual disciplines? And then I get in there and page after page is underlined and highlighted and noted in, and the Lord is like, you have everything more to learn, ever more to learn about me, about my kingdom, my ministry, my calling for you. And so I know that probably all of us in some capacity will be a leader, a teacher, a preacher, or, you know, whatever else, and we'll spend a lot of time teaching other people. Don't ever get to a place where you have convinced yourself that you've learned everything there is to know on something. Because I say this from experience, you will be humbled in that. And in that process, you might have caused harm from thinking that you've known it all and refusing to learn from people. So submit yourself to being a learner. The Lord has everything about him to reveal to us, and the amount that we know about him is probably minuscule, and it delights the Lord to reveal himself to us. So don't get to a place where you don't allow the Lord to do that.
Some practical advice, and this may be understood with everybody, I don't know, who comes to seminary. I have a 2 terabyte hard drive at home that I can go back and look at my entire seminary career. All my PowerPoints, PDFs, keep that stuff, guys. Because wherever the Lord has you in the future, you can pull back from that well, right? Okay, that's some practical advice. The other advice is that we need to give each other grace. A lot more grace. The sanctifying grace that the God wants to pour out on you and me comes from you. God is working through you, Ben. God is working through you, Cindy. God is working through you, Emily. God is working through you, Matt, to extend grace to one another. And that's where the Lord works. So my advice is today, where can we show a little bit more grace for those around us? Because we're all broken and becoming whole. We are all trying to do this thing the right way, okay?
Thanks, Andrew. As somebody who did not save all of my things for my master's, I do wish I had a 2 terabyte drive just for the reading list, not to read your old papers, just for the reading list. Well, friends, thank you for being here, for being willing to share some of your story with people you know and people you don't know. Thank you for your willingness to lean into what God has brought you to do, and surrender to God in your time here.
I encourage the rest of us who all have stories about our time here to share those stories at lunch, to talk through sort of your things you've learned and the challenges and the beauty of your time here. But as we wrap up this panel discussion, I would love for us to know how we can be praying for you guys as you step out of eventually this community. So this is kind of a like, what's next if you know it? That's always the existential crisis question. No one of us ever know what's next. So what's next / how can we as a community be praying you out?
Well, like I said, I've already started the job searching process, which is a pain in this season. But what I'm really hopeful for what next and something you guys, I guess, can be praying about is I really want to be somewhere where, A, like I said, I can continue learning from people, but also where I can apply what I have learned, where I can, participate in a board meeting, right, and know how to think about it, purpose-driven or something like that. But just somewhere where I don't feel like I have stagnated, but where I know that, like, I am there for a purpose, and also I am continually growing and not just, like, stagnating and staying where I'm at.
Part of taking the ministry blinders off and knowing that there's a lot out there to do, My prayer request of you for me is just to pick something, Andrew. just pick something. So many choices are there that I feel like I've been equipped to do and that I feel confident I can do, but just to hone those down and just be committed to that thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be easy for me to ask for, and I will, but just prayers for wisdom for the future in a lot of like practical ways, but I think deeper than that and the way to actually get there is just a grace to actually abide in the Lord just today and then tomorrow and the next day, day at a time, and actually trust him truly and deeply in that and know that whatever he has is good. So I would just appreciate prayers for that.
Yeah, we will be praying. I'm going to stare at each of you and say thank you for being here, for again telling us your story. We love you guys. We are sad you will eventually be leaving us, but we are excited to see what God has done and how God will continue to do things in and through each of you. So thank you for
sharing. Thank you,
Kali. Andrew, I think you were, we can clap for them. Great.
Thank you.
I think, Andrew, you were on par to close us out in prayer. So we'll pray, and then we'll invite the band back and worship together again. So Andrew, pray us out.
Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for you being present in transitions. Lord, you've heard our hearts. Lord, I pray for those that are watching online and those that are present here. Be with us today as we go to share your word with this hurting world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.